A very good morning to you. I hope you're all well. It's James Mulhall with you here on Farm Focus on Clare FM until 10 o'clock this morning. Coming up today, we'll be chatting with Chagas about dairying, and we'll also have an interview about a new technology which could help the accounting and admin side of your farm work. First though, we'll take a look at the farming forecast for the weekend ahead. So Met Éireann has a couple of weather warnings in place today, so do brace yourself for that. Here in Clare, it will be very wet and windy later in the day with a risk of spot flooding as heavy rain continues throughout the day. So later in the afternoon, as I say, and in the evening, winds will veer west to northwest over Munster and Connacht and strengthen further with severe and damaging gusts. But during the early part of the day, we shouldn't have those strong winds. Top temperatures today will range 6 to 11 degrees. Tomorrow, Sunday, then it will be a mostly dry day with just a few showers at the coasts. Temperatures will range between 5 and 7 degrees in the afternoon in mainly light southerly breezes. So we will have a brief respite from the conditions tomorrow, all right. But please do wrap up and stay in by the fire today, if at all possible, or if you are out and about, make sure you have your waterproofs on you. Now to this morning's first interview, where Aidan Bugler is on the line. Aidan, good morning.
Good morning, James.
So Aidan, just to start off, what areas can dairy farmers be looking at around this time of year?
Yeah, James, well, I suppose we're at the end of the year now, and I suppose it's probably no harm for farmers to have a look back at how the farm has performed over maybe the last 12 months. But if we look at it from a dairying perspective, the milk price this year, I suppose it wasn't super, but it wasn't too bad. It wasn't the worst year, and maybe not the best either. But and milk yields from cows seem to be pretty good as well. I suppose the downside to the year has been, I suppose, the different weather events that we've had, from the cold, wet spring to the summer drought, and really that has increased costs for a lot of farmers with a lot of extra purchased feed being bought in this year. But I suppose whatever the situation on the farm is, it's no harm to have a look at how the farm did actually perform as regards the production from the farm and the finances as well over the year. And I suppose that's why, James, I suppose this time of year we'll be trying to encourage farmers to have a look at maybe completing the profit monitor, as it kind of lets them have a fairly detailed look at overall farm performance through the last 12 months. Like the profit monitor, I suppose, is kind of based on the information, would say, as regards receipts and costs. And the advantage we have, I suppose, with it is, you know, we're not just looking at a single profit or loss figure for the farm, but, you know, it can be assessed under, there's a number of kind of different things we can look at. So we could take the whole farm performance, and that's kind of everything in, how did the farm perform, and what kind of profit did it leave overall. We can also look at it in maybe on a unit of production basis, so we could break down that performance per litre, per animal, or per kilo of live weight, or whatever way we want to look at it. You know, so there's different ways we can analyse the data, I suppose. We can also look at it by the different enterprises. So how did the dairy enterprise go versus the dry stock or any other enterprises that are on the farm? And also then, I suppose, you know, as quotas have been lifted, the farm has really been limited now on the hectares maybe that the farmer has. So, you know, what way does the profit or the cost or whatever break down on a per hectare basis? And I suppose the other kind of point on it, James, as well, in the benefit from the profit monitor is farmers can use it maybe to benchmark themselves against other farms, particularly, you know, if they're in a discussion group, they can look at how they're performing versus the group average or other group farmers that they know within the group, or, you know, maybe compared to national average figures as well. And I suppose that's where it can be very helpful when farmers are maybe looking forward, you know, they compare their farm to others, and it might make it easier to identify the areas that are needed for improvement on the farm maybe.
And when that exercise is complete, what use can a farmer make of that information?
Yeah, well, I suppose, James, producing figures is only worth what it's worth, but if they're not kind of, I suppose, analysed and worked on, they're pretty useless, really, you know. So I suppose if there's something highlighted through the profit monitor, whether it is the cost is too high or the output is lower or whatever it is, you know, that's not going to change in 2019 unless the farmer kind of makes the decision to deal with it, I suppose, really. So I suppose that's where maybe taking the next step and preparing a kind of a cash flow budget for the coming year is ideally what farmers should be looking at. And really the budget, like, you know, it's just kind of a look at what's the likely income going to be next year, and what are the costs that are going to have to go against that income, you know, and you subtract one from the other and you're either left with a cash surplus or a cash deficit or a neutral situation over the year. So I suppose when you look at, take that over 12 months is fair enough, but ideally it should be maybe broken down by quarter or by month, because, you know, there are times of the year when a lot of money comes in and there are other times of the year maybe when a lot of money doesn't come in and there could be a lot of costs to be met at a particular time. So that might highlight, you know, that might be need to be dipping into the likes of short-term credit or that, you know, to overcome maybe potential issues where there might be gaps. Overall, it might be okay, but there might be gaps at different times in the year. And I suppose the other thing, I suppose, James, for guys to remember is, like, you know, not to get overly hung up on the budget, you know, it's never going to be 100% accurate, but to try and make as reasonable a stab as they can at it. And maybe, you know, I suppose the warnings we'd have there is don't be maybe overestimating the income too much, or maybe underestimating what's likely to be spent, because, you know, if you think the cash is going to be there, the likelihood is it might be spent, but maybe in reality it won't end up being there.
And what are the main components of a cash flow budget?
Yeah, well, I suppose, as we were saying, it's really cash in and cash out, really, is the simplest way to put it. But I suppose, look, if farmers looking at doing one, we'd be kind of maybe saying take all the income sources that are going to come into the household for the year. So, you know, for a dairy farmer, obviously the milk, so how much does he expect the cows to make next year? And roughly what price per litre will that be at? The cattle sales, cull cows, calf sales, what are they going to amount to in the year? What are the direct payments sort of going to come in the post there towards the next year with a single farm payment or class or whatever it is? Is there other sources of farm income then, whether it be cider sold or is there forestry premiums or whatever maybe there as well? And then the off-farm income, if there's a salary coming into the house or dividend or deposit interest or anything like that. So, you know, you add up basically all the cash sources of income for the coming year. And going against that, then I suppose you have the cash that's going to go out. So, look, I suppose most people think of buying the feed or buying the fertiliser or whatever, but really I think that the ones we'd be saying to look at before you even go to those are the ones that you're kind of committed to paying. So I suppose, look, the first one of that is maybe tax. None of us like paying it, but it's going to be there for most people. So I suppose our advice is find out early in the year how much the tax bill is going to be that you can be preparing for it by the time it has to be paid in next October, November time. The bank then, I suppose, is the other one that has to be paid. So the loan repayments, how many are those? What's the total repayment going to be for the year? And that'll, you know, if you're doing a full household budget, you'll be taking all the farm, personal, mortgage, the whole lot is that. And the other one then, the obvious one is like the drawings or the living expenses. You know, everyone has to live, so what are they likely to be next year? So have a look maybe at what they were in the year gone by and will they be up or down on that? So, you know, when you take those kind of, we call them commitments away from the income, where you're left with a sum of money then that kind of has to operate the farm. And, you know, will that be enough or not? It's hard to say, but like if farmers have a profit monitor done for 2018, they can look back and see how that panned out. And, you know, if they want to spend the same amount, will there be enough in that, or will they have to, you know, is it going to be, are they going to have to go borrowing, or are going to have to go looking at some other way to manage the farm over the year?
And what about having gone through all that a farmer then realises that there won't be enough money to run the farm this year?
Yeah, well, I suppose the purpose of the exercise, James, is to find out what the likely kind of scenario, I suppose, as regards, you know, once you've lived, paid the tax and the banks, you know, is there going to be enough there to run the farm afterwards? So, you know, if as you say, there won't be enough, I suppose maybe a lot of the time there isn't really a silver bullet to fix this, but it's kind of to go back and look at all areas of expenditure really then, you know, to see if there's any room in it. So I suppose you go back through what it costs to run the farm in the year gone by would be the first place. So I suppose farmers at times have a habit of maybe doing some kind of capital work, whether it's buildings or roadways or drainage or maybe buying machinery from cash flow. So if that was done in the last year or if it's planned for next year, you know, maybe if some of the stuff that's planned for the coming year might have been put off, or, you know, even some of the stuff that was done last year, if it wasn't the right thing to take it out of cash flow, there might be maybe retrospectively borrowing for that to stretch out that payment over a number of years and free up a bit of cash for in the short term each year. I suppose the other ones then, James, like, you know, around the herd health and that, you know, like, you know, if there's any issues with herd health, it can add a lot to costs, you know, performance in the herd can be poor. So, you know, if that's kind of an ongoing issue, it would be no harm to talk to the vet and, you know, come up with a plan to deal with health issues in the farm for the coming year. I suppose, fertiliser, you know, is there a fertiliser plan done for the year? If not, you know, taking soil samples and buying the right type of fertiliser for the paddocks that need it and maybe making good use of slurry, you know, they'll all help maybe to reduce costs as well. And I suppose the other big one then really, like for most guys, is the grassland management. How is it on the farm? You know, if there's improvements can be made there, it can have a significant reduction in costs. And the other thing, like, you know, does the stocking rate suit how much grass the farm is able to grow? I suppose it's the big one, because, you know, if a farm is overstocked, it ends up buying a lot of purchase feed, and that can add a lot to the cost of running the farm for the year as well.
Perfect, Aidan. Plenty to bear in mind there. And thanks a million for joining me this morning.
Thanks, James.
Aidan Bugler there from Tagus. We'll take a quick break now, but coming up we'll be chatting about a new technology which may just change how things are run on the farm. Welcome back to Clare FM's Farm Focus. It's James Mulhall with you here, bringing you right up to Country Corner in a short little while. We've still an interview to come about a new technology on farms, but before that, we'll take your market report from Ennis. Here's Clare FM's Gavin Grace.
Thanks, James. Numbers very similar to last week, with over 700 on offer. Quality more variable all round, and trade not quite as strong, with the exception of quality lots. Again, a big entry of cull cows at 240 on offer, and a number of aged bulls as well. Forward beef type stock, a strong trade. Aged bulls, a slightly improved trade, with a limousin of 815 kilos, hitting €1,575. In bullocks, two Charlie, 877 kilos, €1,865. One Aberdeen Angus Cross, 625 kilos, €1,150. Three Limousin, 547 kilos, €1,405. And four Charlie, 485 kilos, €1,245. In heifers, one Limousin, 480 kilos, €1,220. Two Limousin Cross, 527 kilos, €1,170. One Charlie Cross, 485 kilos, €1,160, and two Limousin, 420 kilos, €1,050. And for cull cows, one Limousin, 750 kilos, €1,290. One Limousin, 660 kilos, €1,150. One Hereford Cross, 580 kilos, €750. One Charlie Cross, 625 kilos, €1,120. And one Frisian, 730 kilos, €810. Back over to you, James.
Thanks, Gavin. Now to our final interview of the day, where Killian Leonovic joins me on the line now from Deloitte in Dublin to tell us about a cutting edge technology which could well change things for us. So Killian, to start off, I'll just get you maybe to tell us a little bit about this technology, blockchain it's called, and maybe the thought behind it and how it actually came about.
Yeah, sure. So blockchain itself is a technology which allows for the distribution and the replication of a ledger. So it means that you can view transactions or data across different systems, coming into a single place and aggregating those. So what we looked at was, within the beef sector, how could this new technology be applied? And we thought initially about track and trace, so the actual ability to track genomic code through to farms, through to what's happening in a processor, right out through to the supermarket, etc. One of the things you have today is that everybody's got their own cut of data, they're all reviewing their own data, and they either rarely share, or if they do share, the data is never joined up. So what we're looking at is creating a full chain of data right from the start of an animal's life through to the end, and its consumption by a consumer. Why did we think about this? Well, one is, obviously, consumers want better traceability, they want better safety of their food. Two is actually to help producers. So if we can get better feedback of data from customers right back to a farmer or to a processor, we can start giving them more information, we can help them make better decisions, and we can help them to make their product better. And the other piece is just around the overall management of information in the system. So if we were to take, for example, cold storage, well, how do we know over the lifetime of a packet of butter or milk or whatever it is, exactly what sort of temperatures they were kept at? Could they have been spoiled, etc.? So just being able to look at the data within a system to know that actually this is safe, it's still of good quality, and it's something we want to pass to consumers.
And is this something that, I suppose the average farmer would find relatively easy to implement?
So in terms of implementation, it would have to be designed in such a way that it's literally as easy to use for a farmer as WhatsApp or just using the internet to check the weather. It has to be that simple. So what we don't want is to create a huge burden on farmers where they have to go deploying new software, new technology on their farm. A lot of the information already exists. So, for example, they're already managing passports for animals. They already have information coming out of some of their systems. So, for example, if they're using a Keenan machine, all the mix information is already going up to the cloud anyway. The same with the Dairy Master machines. They can be taking data and information off those. So, you know, that there shouldn't be a change. It should just be that we're actually gathering this data, streamlining it, and building a bigger picture with it. to give us greater insights.
And I suppose that's something that, you know, should really be implemented across the board to kind of start to move away from the old traditional methods. I know a lot of farmers would still be kind of going down the route of paying with check, and it's all a paper trail. But this just makes it that bit more simple, and it's all together in one place.
Exactly. It's all together in one place. And the key point is we're in the middle of a digital revolution. This is the next stage of, I suppose, industry. We move everything away from paper, away from checks, to the digital world. A lot of the farmers out there now, they'll be used to using their mobile apps, whether it's WhatsApp, whether it's Bank of Ireland or whatever financial firm is in the that they're using. They're used to apps. They expect apps. And why should farm passports or animal passports be any different? Why should their information back from a processor be any different? And also, why shouldn't they be able to get information and insights from their customers to say, to John Smith down in wherever he is in County Clare, to say, you know, really enjoyed the steak that I had or the butter that I had that we know came from your farm or from the area in County Clare that you're based.
And I imagine then it would make things like, you know, I suppose maybe this time of year, farmers might be kind of wrapping up their accounts for the year. They generally go into the accountant with a stack of paper. Is it much easier to, I guess, you know, obviously if you have it all in a digital format, does it still make it the process easier to go into the accountant?
Should absolutely make it easier. Absolutely. Once information is there, once it's digitized, once it can be, you can be sure that the information is in the right format and structure, that, you know, should be used and passed on to the relevant stakeholders in the value chain, whether that's an accountant, whether that's an export agent, whoever that is. I suppose the other side to this that we see is in terms of differentiation for Ireland. So if this can make farming more sustainable, safer, we know what the product is, and we know the extent of the raw materials, the grass, the quality, all that sort of stuff that's gone into the animals. We should be using that as a differentiator overseas. Today, we differentiate on kind of Irish quality standards, but a lot of it is just marketing. There's not the real hardcore data that we need behind it. Whereas if we could do this, you know, there's nothing to say that we couldn't provide a consumer in China or in Singapore or wherever it is with the information to say, this is an animal or this is a fillet steak. It's come from an abattoir, which are a processor. It could be Keepak. It's come from cows in, I don't know, Ennis Diamond in County Clare or something like that. And literally we know everything that's happened to that animal, to that carcass, to that piece of beef, right throughout the production chain. And when we spoke to different supermarkets and different stockists in China of Irish products, they said that typically if you can prove greater quality with pure data, customers and consumers usually will pay a premium of somewhere between 25 and 30%, you know, which could be a big differentiator for Ireland, particularly as we're competing in luxury beef markets, places like, you know, South Korea, Japan, China, Hong Kong, Singapore, Dubai, Abu Dhabi, places like that.
So I suppose the key thing with this, like you say, it really follows it through from, you know, the animal being born, being out in the field, right to our plates.
Yeah, exactly. And then there's also other things. So once the system is in place and once everybody's using the system, there's other things then you can do on top of it. So, for example, you could start tracking carbon credits on this same system. So if a farmer has a wind farm or a wind turbine, he could start generating, showing the blockchain that this information is coming through, that he's, you know, the wattage that he's producing, the energy that he's saving. He can offset against that against his cows, or he could indeed start selling it and offsetting it to a processor further down in the chain. So then we could have a completely sustainable environment and ecosystem that we can prove in Irish farming.
Killian, we'll leave it there. We're just about out of time for this week's show. Before I do sign off, just again to mention that rain, it will be wet today, windy later in the day. But if you are heading out and about, and I know a lot of you will be getting your last minute Christmas shopping in, so do wrap up well, stick on the raincoat and bring an umbrella too. And just as well to give a little plug to our Farm Focus podcast. So that will be going up on our website, clare.fm. That is from Monday, as it does most weeks. And if you do want to get in touch with the show, you can email farm@clare.fm. That's farm@clare.fm. In the meantime, stay tuned for Country Corner and I'll talk to you next week.
Farm Focus was sponsored by Munster Group. Munster Insurance and Financial Limited, trading as Munster Group, are regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.